Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show. Sun Guy and QT with you on another Friday afternoon. And I want to bring our guest on right away. He is a fine official of the National Wrestling Alliance. Robert King, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Since today's your first time with us, we're going to start you out with our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, it's no secret that I'm a twin. My twin brother is Justin King. He was in the WWE for 5 years, from 2008 to 2013. We started watching wrestling at the age of 2. Our mom took us to a wrestling event in Peoria, Illinois, where the main event was Andre the Giant and Haku versus Demolition. And ever since then, it's just been a sport that we've loved, that we've been a part of our whole lives. And I got in the business in 2006 thanks to a company in Danville, Illinois, New Breed Wrestling Alliance, where I did some wrestling training as well as referee training. So that's how the career started. Been doing it ever since.
Like you said, you are a twin, and your twin brother has done a similar path to you as well. You worked on shows featuring another very famous set of twins that referee matches, that being the Hebners. To my knowledge, the two of you are the only sets of twin referees in major professional wrestling. What's it been like being a twin and having your twin work in the same industry as you?
It's really surreal and nice that both of us have got to experience the national level, and it's kind of different. We're so different. Even though we're twins, we're different. We do things different. Our referee styles are kind of different. But at the same time, we're one and the same. It's so lovely to have him on shows with me, because if I need help with something, he's there to help me. He's been in the WWE, so he has a little bit more knowledge of the national level than I do, so I can ask him questions and bounce all ideas off of him and vice versa. But it's awesome to have your family there with you. You know, when we travel together, it's great because we can share a car, we can share a hotel. It's like, You could do all these things that you were going to pay for one person, but at the same time, you're getting two for the price of one, kind of, because you're only paying for that one car and that one room. And we love each other to death, and we're best friends. So it's great. He's doing his thing now. He's traveling overseas and doing shows in Qatar and Pakistan and South Africa and India, and doing some other promotions over there. And that's his thing. I currently, like you said, I'm currently with the NWA. I do some shows in Chicago with Warrior Wrestling, which is a company that's ran by a Catholic high school. And all the proceeds from the show go to scholarships for that school. And I also do Tried and True Pro Wrestling, which is down in Clarksville, Tennessee, which is ran by Crimson. So I work that show and Tried and True with my brother every single time. So it's great to travel with him, and it's great for us to be around each other.
Now, one of the promotions that you worked for previously is a promotion that was also owned by Billy Corgan. You worked for Resistance Pro Wrestling in the Chicago area, which I'm sure is how you got on the radar, Billy Corgan, when he relaunched the NWA. a lot of really great talent came out of Resistance Pro. What was it like working for them?
When I found out about Resistance Pro, one of my friends actually got picked up with the company, and she worked there, and she was telling me about it, and she said that they were bringing in some pretty good names, and that Billy ran the company, and while I was doing referee, and I was also in a heavy metal band, so I played drums in a band for 10 years, so I kind of, you know, I knew who Billy was, and I just wanted to see where his mind was. So when I started with Resistance Pro, it was great. They had some really big talent at the time. We were working with, you know, Eagle Robert Anthony. We had, you know, Jay Bradley. We had, you know, we had Rhino. We had David Hart Smith. We had a lot of people that was in that company. We had Awesome Kong at one point. You know, Matt Hardy came through. I got to ref Matt Hardy's match when he wrestled Eagle for the championship. I got to wrestle John Hannigan versus Robert Anthony for the championship. There was just so many names that I got to work. And I think that Resistance Pro, even though I wasn't there in the latter company, is what made me hone my skills of working with top-tier talent, if that's being politically correct. That's where I learned how to rest on a TV state, on a TV setting, working a hard cam, working, you know, with cameras roving around the ring, working with names and people that know what they're doing. That's where it all started. So, and I thank Billy because Billy gave me an opportunity, and you know, I worked hard for Billy, and I think that's the reason why he elected to bring me on to the NWA. He knows what I'm capable of. I was his senior official in Resistance Pro. And I worked my way up to that. You know, before I was there, Jason Ayers was there. So Jason Ayers went to the WWE, and I essentially became the senior referee at Resistance Pro.
Now, you mentioned Jason Ayers, who actually had a huge hand in teaching me how to referee as well. I always considered him one of the very best. Of course, I'm completely biased when I say that. But working with someone like him that not only is a referee with WWE, but is now one of the producers, is he someone that was able to teach you quite a bit when you were learning how to referee at that level?
Surprisingly, Jason Ayers left as I came in, so I never got to work with him. They just kind of gave me a shot. And I had been reffing, mind you, 6 years before I went to Resistance Pro. So I had some time under my belt. It was just a matter of honing the skills on that particular level. We were practically selling out shows on a monthly basis, you know, and it was working on that level and becoming my own referee and becoming how I am today, honing my skills. So I haven't worked specifically with Jason Ayers, but just like you said, you got trained by Jason Ayers. I got help from Chad Patton and Jack Doan. Okay. And
Chad Patton. Two very good ones.
Yes, and they're the reason why my brother got into the WWE. We knew them from the age of 12. We met them at shows and talked to them and told them we wanted to be referees, and they kind of gave us some tips and tricks on how to, you know, be a referee and try to help us out, and that's how my brother got picked up with the WWE. So we as well got some help there from these WWE referees. You know, I just like you, I consider Chad Patton the creme to la creme when it comes to referees. I actually recommend when people ask me who should I watch, I tell them Chad Patton. There's a reason why he's there. There's a reason why he's been there for so long, and it's because he's really good at what he does, as well as John Cone. I think John Cone's an excellent official, and all the referees that are coming into the WWE are getting learning from some top-tier referees.
I agree with you 100% there. Now, the NWA and the incarnation it is right now adopted a studio wrestling format. They wrestle in a TV studio in the Atlanta area, and it is different than the more recent shows that major promotions have put on. What do you think about the studio wrestling environment?
I can tell you, when I first got into the studio, it was a change for me. I'm so used to working a hard cam, but on that hard cam side, there was always fans on that hard cam side. You know, so you're working towards the fans as well as the camera. But in a studio, you're working towards the camera. Your back's to the fans, right? So it was a little different for me to get that in my mind, as well as the fact that our guys come out to no music, which I think is super cool. Now, at the time, I didn't understand why they weren't coming out to music. You know, that was a little different for me to get used to, because as a wrestling fan, I'm so used to the music hits, and I know who's coming. I'm excited at this point. You know what I mean? But the studio is different. It's different because the broadcast that's going on, the people that are running the cameras, initially, they had never ran a wrestling show before. So the camera positioning and where the roving cameras are, it was hard for me to adjust moving around the ring and figure it out where I was here and where I was there. And so you're on one side of the corner, and when you're on that side of the corner, that camera moves and you have to move with it, and then you don't know they're moving. So it was a little hard and a little tough to adjust to initially, but I think I've got it down now, and it took me a couple shows to get it down, but I think it's going great now, and it is what it is. We work in a studio, so that's what we have to get used to.
The fans, of course, are going to be more in a compact area there in the studio. Even when it's a sellout studio audience, you're only going to have a few hundred people in there, so it's a really intimate setting. I'm sure that it provides for more of a unique, intimate feel for the fans. Do you feel like that as a performer, you're more connected to the fans in a studio setting than you would be if you were in a large arena or like a large armory or something like that?
Absolutely. The NWA fans are, and I'm not just saying this because I'm in the company, the NWA fans are the most loyal fans ever. Let's just be honest. They're the most loyal fans ever. They come to every single show. They're as loud as they can be at every single show. They, you know, they cheer and they boo, and they got their favorites, and they do what they're supposed to. And I'm telling you, they are so supportive. And not only that, you want to meet the fans before and after the show. You want to get up there and say hey to them, because these are the people that's keeping us in business. These are the people that took a chance on the NWA, and they fell in love with a product that was just, you know, the brainchild of, you know, Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana. And I'm telling you now, they're just so great. I have nothing but positive things to say about the fan base, not only in the studio, but the people who watch the show at home.
One of the fans that you regularly see on the NWA Power episodes is someone we've had on this very show before. He's a longtime fan of the NWA. I'm talking about David Wills. I'm sure he's very well known to a lot of the people in the locker room as well. Have you had much interaction with guys like David Wills that have been going to wrestling shows for decades now?
I don't know people by name too much. I'm not really good with people's names. I've met a lot of people. Is this somebody that's, you say he's been around for a while? Is he, so he's a super fan, or?
He is a super fan, and he is most famous for the video where he starts to cry and says it's still real to him.
Okay, yes. So I finally had the chance to meet him, and I think it was at the last set of tapings that I was at there in December, and I had a chance to meet him and talk with him, and he's a super fan. He really is. It's just like Sandoval's. I know you've seen Sandoval's in the front row of our studio tapings, the guy who dresses up like Santa Claus. Both of those two, that's the type of fan I'm talking about. It's not just them. It's multiple people who are fans like them, hardcore fans like them, that choose to take their time on Tuesdays at 6:05 to tune into our product and to order our pay-per-views. And when we put tickets out, we sell out in hours. There's a reason that's happening. It's because what we're doing is so different from everybody else that people are starting to get behind it. And it's great. I love it. But, yes, he is a super fan. He was super nice to me when I met him. And, you know, I hope he continues to support us and keep coming to shows and you know, giving us it's just so great. He's in some of our vignettes at the beginning of the show, or, you know, when they're talking about the merchandise, they put him in that video. And it's great that he's on every episode so people can see, you know, that we got a mega fan in the audience.
Absolutely. Always great to see him in the crowd. Speaking of merchandise, I know the NWA has been cranking out a lot of merchandise since the lockdown went into place. There's new T-shirts out, new hats. They've released Season 1 of Power as a DVD set. Merchandising is very important in today's wrestling, I feel. How do you feel about the merchandising aspect of wrestling, and especially for someone like yourself that is a referee that doesn't really do the in-ring stuff? Do you feel that there's still a niche market out there for you to merchandise?
Well, I'm actually thankful that the fans are getting behind us and talking to us about merchandise and actually buying our merchandise and doing our T-shirts and doing everything and buying our stuff. I can't stress enough in the hard times that we're in that even when we came out with something that was for COVID-19, the fans stepped up and they helped out and they bought this stuff that went directly to support the wrestlers that didn't have anything. Like, some of our people don't have real jobs out in the world, and this is what they do for a living. And it's great that the merchandise was there to kind of help us out. I think the merchandise they're putting out is awesome. I have actually purchased merchandise for myself from the site because I think it's a great way to support the company I'm with, you know? Yeah, they hired me to do a job, but I feel like I can give back and pay for some stuff as well. You know what I mean? I think they're doing it the right way. I don't think they're overloading merchandise, if that makes sense. They're not making a shirt for absolutely everybody that's on our roster. They're making stuff that they want, that they know the fans want. You know, the fans are the voice, and the fans are the reason why we're in the business. So the fans, whoever they're backing, that's what we're making shirts for, you know? I never had a shirt. I don't think I'll ever have a shirt. I'm not in the business to have merchandise. I'm not in the business to put myself over. I've never been like that. But, you know, if the day comes where I ever get a shirt or get something like that, so be it. That'd be awesome. But I'm not looking to have something for myself.
Understood. I also have a brand new Carnyland T-shirt, so I think fans are getting into the merchandise that the NWA is putting out there. And speaking of Carnyland, that is the show that they've been putting out the last few weeks in order for fans to have new content. There's pretty much a different show 5 days a week now that the NWA puts on YouTube, but it's centered around Carnyland. Have you been keeping tabs on what's happening with Carnyland and how they're trying to create content to keep the fans entertained during all of this?
Yes, I have. You know, even though I'm off and I'm not working with the company currently due to the situation that we're in, I support my company 100%. I think the What's Causing All This has really caught my eye because I'm hearing about things that I watched. I'm hearing people talk about times in TNA before I was there in Impact Wrestling. And I, you know, it's nice to hear some of the stories from the guys who were there, the guys who witnessed it, the guys that went through it. It's nice to take an hour and a half to listen to something like that. I think the Inside the NWA is great. You get to meet some of the people and you get to meet them on a more intimate level of what they're doing. You know what I mean? You know, some people see us in the ring and stuff, but they don't know us on an intimate level. And it's nice that they get that opportunity to meet us on that level. Eli Drake, I've known Eli Drake since 2013. We did our WWE tryout together, and he's a great guy. You know, I'm glad he's got something because he's got so many different personalities and so many things that he's got up his sleeve and so many talents that he has. It's nice that he gets his own show to showcase what he's actually what he can do. You know what I mean? And working with him and NWA has been great. He was the one that kind of coached me along about losing weight. I lost some weight recently. I'm down currently 35 pounds from where I was. And I talked to Eli about it because he's, you know, good with his body and he does fitness, and he helped me out with that. So I'm glad to see him have his own platform. As far as the girl power, I think it's great that they're tackling issues that people don't, you know, want to tackle. You got some major, major players in female wrestling in NWA. Allison Kay, who I worked with in Impact Wrestling, I believe her and Mia Yim are two of the best women wrestlers out there today. And the fact that we have Allison Kay is amazing. I've worked several matches with her. She knows what she's doing. She's a good ring general. And, you know, she's leading that girl power, you know, along with Marty Bell and the other female talent that's in the NWA. They're doing great tackling issues that need to be tackled. The problem is the great part about the NWA is that they are producing that content, though, and keeping people engaged and keeping people wanting more. You know, when we do come back for shows and we finally get back into the ring, people are still going to remember us because of the way they went about doing this extra content.
I agree 100%. I've been enjoying all of the shows. I'm very interested to see who ends up as mayor of Carnyland.
Which I didn't hit on Carnyland itself. I think Carnyland is, I mean, what you've seen on Carnyland is what we see backstage. These are just these guys just being themselves and it's coming through on the camera. This is what I see every day on backstage from the time I get to the building to the time I leave. So you guys are just getting a sneak peek of what we go through on a regular with these guys.
Very recently on this show, we had as our guest Royce Isaacs, and he's been involved in a bit of a controversial thing with Mae Valentine. He has gone after Saul Renaro. He injured him because he's been jealous of the time he and Mae have spent together as BFFs. They did an entire YouTube video about that situation right before the launch of Carnyland. What can you tell us about Royce Isaac's situation and how you think that that's going to progress as we get back to the studio and having matches in the ring?
I mean, I can't really, I don't know. Some of the stuff that you guys are seeing, some of the things you're seeing, I'm seeing unfold for the first time as well. So, like, when I'm in a ring, I don't know what's getting ready to happen until they do it. You know what I mean? I think Royce Isaacs is one of the best technical wrestlers. If you've ever watched any of his stuff outside of the NWA, he's one of the best technical wrestlers. He is really good at what he does, and I think it was great for them to throw him into Strictly Business. I think it's a great thing for him and Tom Latimer, who I know rather well. I've been around Tom for a long, long time, and I think Strictly Business, let's not even get started about Nick Aldis, but that whole crew of guys and Camille, they all work so well together. And I don't know what's going to happen between him and Mae Valentine. I really don't. I guess I'm just going to be as surprised as you.
Hopefully that all works out for everyone involved.
Sure.
Now, we have a game here on the show that we like to play called Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared to play a bit of word association with us?
Sure.
All right. First name, Mickey Knuckles.
Mickey Knuckles. She's a hard hitter. Hard hitter. She was a go-getter. I mean, it's Mickey Knuckles.
Tim Storm.
One of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your entire life. What you see on TV is what you get. Tim Storm is Tim Storm.
Thunder Rosa.
I think she is one of the most underrated female wrestlers in the entire business. I'm surprised it took her this long to catch somebody's attention. And if you notice what she's doing in the NWA, that's what she could have been doing years ago when nobody took a chance on her.
Billy Corgan.
What can I say? I love him. Billy's the man. He's always been there for me. I work hard for him. That's my boss.
Brian Hebner.
I love Brian Hebner. Brian Hebner is my trainer, my mentor, a really good friend of mine, my traveling partner. What can I say? He's like a brother for me.
Question mark.
Karate.
Sugar Dunkerton.
Shug D. I would say comedy wrestler. Very nice guy. Comedic wrestler. It's Shug D. He's a nice guy.
Ken Anderson.
Veteran. Knows what he's talking about. Really good in the ring. Good ring general. Somebody that any company should want to have on the roster.
Joe Galley.
Love Joe. My roommate, my brother. We travel together. One of the best talkers on the microphone. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him if he stays in this particular line of work. And he's the voice of the NWA.
And the last one, Josephus.
Aha. Josephus. Crazy. Out there. Brawler. Go-getter. Josephus. There's so many things I can say about Josephus. He is. He's a nut.
One of the things that historically in wrestling we have seen are tag teams that have either been twin brothers, like the Harris brothers or the Cole twins, or tag teams that wear masks and bodysuits to make them look like they are identical. As a twin yourself, a little bit more of an advantage keeping track when you have tag team matches involving twins, or do you think that doesn't really play into things?
The best part about being a twin is that you can tell twins apart. So when you're a twin, you realize that not all twins look alike. To the average eye, people may think that we look alike, but we don't. There's different characteristics and features that you see. I've worked with the Tate twins quite a bit, and they look different to me. They don't look the same. As a matter of fact, I worked with Ron and Don Harris when I was in Impact Wrestling, and they didn't look alike to me neither. So to me, it's never been an issue, and I try to keep track of who's the legal man and who's not the legal man. And when the non-legal man jumps in, I let them know it's not your time to get in. Get out.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Robert, I saw your YouTube video entitled On the Beat with Robert King at Resistance Pros, Draw the Line. And my first question is, as head referee, do you have your own entrance music?
No, I did not have my own entrance music. I don't think any of the referees came out to music at all back in Resistance Pro. But, I was a head referee, but never any entrance music.
Okay. All right. What is the next level down from stellar performance? Would this be what 30% of the rookies do? Because you mentioned stellar performance in your interview.
So, to me, stellar performance is you hit all marks. You're there. You did everything you were supposed to do. You didn't miss a beat, okay? I think below stellar performance is, and that's just me. I'm going for stellar performance every time I'm in the ring, every time. The same thing every time, being on the mark, being in a position, not interfering with what the boys are doing when they're in the ring, because, again, it's not about the referees, it's about the boys. We're there to keep order. And that's what I think stellar performance is. I think anything under stellar performance is just, to me, now I'm not saying for anybody else, but for me, it's a subpar performance. And I don't like to be subpar.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's
would
just,
you say
that's
that
just for me.
Oh, okay. Would you say that Eminem is a stellar rapper?
I think he's absolutely great at what he does. I don't particularly listen to rap, but he's one of the guys that I think is stellar. Yes, I think he's really good at what he does.
Okay.
And I think he does well even without having things in front of him. He can just go off the top of his head and freestyle. And he does that the same way he does in his song. So he does more than what the average person does. There's not words in front of him. He's just, you know, rapping about things that he sees every day in life.
Now, have you ever thought of stenciling on the back of your zebra shirt, Stellar Ref, Stellar Referee?
No.
Have you ever thought about that? Okay.
No, because, and I'll answer that, again, I just feel like the referees are the referees, and I don't think this is just me. I don't think me having a gimmick of some sort would do me any justice. I think my work should speak for itself, and if my work is speaking for itself, I don't think I need to add anything to it, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. You let your actions speak for themselves, yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Robert, I noticed in this video that you had a blue R on your left upper chest with four red stars on top. Can you explain to our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what this blue R and four red stars represent?
Well, the R itself was from that's the logo they used for Resistance Pro. It was an R that they put on the middle of the championship. That was the R that represented the company. That was our logo. The four stars underneath that, that was something else that was into the logo as well, because we were based out of Chicago, Illinois. And on Chicago's flags, there's four stars. The four red stars are for Chicago's flag. So it basically was representing the fact that we were from Chicago and it was Resistance Pro.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. That's good. All right.
And again,
well,
that's a design that I actually created for the shirt.
Oh.
We actually had the R on the shirt, and then we actually had Resistance Pro on our right sleeve, I think it was, and a patch on the right sleeve.
Oh. All right, because, Robert, if you watch any military videos or history clips, if a general or an admiral has four stars, he is a full admiral or a four general. And a vice admiral or a vice general or major general, they have three stars. I thought you may have reached the top of the admiral ranks at Resistance Pro with four red stars, like you were a general or an admiral.
All of our referees actually have those four stars. It was just for the Chicago flag. That's why the colors were the way they were, because the Chicago flag is light blue, white, and red. So.
See, I would like to have your rookie trainees have one red star or a rear admiral. Yes, that's my opinion.
Yeah. Yep. So that was just something we did because at that time we were actually in talks of doing a TV show with that company. We were going to do a TV show, so we wanted to make sure our referees looked professional, and that was my call to have those done so we could look professional on TV and not just wear the regular black and white shirt.
Okay. All right. Well, now you have inspired me. After the show, I might get together with Sign Guy and see if we can come up with a blue collar wrestling crest, sort of like yours, you know, with one, two, three, or four stars or something else. Something to indicate rank. You've inspired
maybe,
me. Yes.
Maybe you could find a company that's willing to back that and put that on there. As far as a referee goes, you're never going to find a referee that doesn't think they're four stars. I can assure you.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right. Well, Robert, at the 138 mark, Justin said that he was working with 410 pounds of awesomeness. Who is this 410 pounds that Justin mentioned?
I really don't know. I couldn't tell you at the time. Justin said some random things at times, and it doesn't surprise me that that came out as well. I don't recall if he was talking about somebody or if he was talking about himself.
Oh, okay. Well, Justin certainly doesn't look like he has 410 pounds on him.
No, but his mind is like 410 pounds of stuff in there, I can assure you.
Oh.
Justin is a very intellectual. He's Justin. He's a character all in himself.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, in this video, at the 228 mark, the ego, Robert Anthony, made his appearance with Mickey Knuckles. At the time, was Robert Anthony managing Mickey Knuckles?
No. Time, I believe Robert Anthony was our heavyweight champion.
Wow. He doesn't look like – he looks like he would be a cruiserweight or 190 pounds.
He's actually a little bit bigger than what you think in person.
Oh.
Robert Anthony.
Okay.
Robert Anthony, believe it or not, I think he would hang – and I'm just saying this from me working with him. Robert Anthony can hang with absolutely anybody in the business.
Oh, okay.
And Robert Anthony actually had a WWE developmental deal back in the day.
Oh, he did? Wow.
Yes, he was in Deep South.
Okay. Deep South.
So,
okay.
Yes. Robert Anthony can go, and he's darn good at what he does.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'll keep an eye out for him. All right. Well, Robert,
actually,
would
you
say that
check
you're
him out. You can check Robert Anthony out on AEW. He's been doing AEW Dark.
Oh, okay. I'm going to write this down right now. There we go. Okay. Wow. Okay. I've got that written down. That's my homework assignment.
He actually just faced John Moxley on AEW Dark this past Tuesday.
John Moxley? How'd he do?
He did rather well. They've wrestled each other. This was 10 years in the making, actually. They wrestled each other 10 years ago, and this was 10 years in the making that they wrestled each other.
A whole decade. Wow.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
So Robert Anthony's been in business a long time. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Robert, would you characterize yourself as a big Ohio State Buckeye fan?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. How do you think they're going to do this year? If they have
it. We lost some people. We lost Chase Young, and we lost, J.K. Dobbins, and we lost some really good people this year. But it just is what it is. Our team is stellar. It's a stellar team. I think we did darn good last year, and we came up short in the Big Ten Championships. No, we actually won the Big Ten Championships. We came up short in the playoffs. And I was shocked we lost in the playoffs, but we did. And I'll tell you what, I think we can hang with any team out there. That's the truth. We beat Alabama in 2014 and then went on to win the national championship. So if we can beat Alabama, we can beat anybody. We came up short to Oregon just barely, okay? Just barely.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah, that Oregon game, yes. Okay. Yeah.
But they
also lost a few
people, too, so.
Well, Robert, you mentioned to Sign Guy that you also work at Tried and True Pro Wrestling. How many referees work at Tried and True Pro Wrestling besides you?
My twin works there as well, Justin King, and Doug Markham works there as a referee. We have had Charlene. I think her last name is like McDally, Charlene. She works for OVW. Sometimes she comes in and works when we're not available. And also Will Gibson has worked there before, but the staple point is myself, Justin, and Doug Markham.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. All right, well, Robert, you mentioned that you play drums as an instrument. Would mm-hmm. you say that you are the Keith Moon of Resistance Pro Referees or the John Bonham of Resistance Pro Referees?
To be honest with you, I don't know who either of those are.
Keith Moon drummed with a who?
See, I don't. Yeah, I'm in the heavy metal, man. heavy metal. So, I tell you what. If you want my honest opinion, I'm like the Peter Chris. If you want to?
The cat.
So, yes. I'm like the Lars Ulrich from Metallica.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, all right.
And then,
fine drummers themselves. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So. I think, that time in Resistance is so long ago. I've changed so much since my time there, and I've got to work with some really good people that have helped me, like Earl Hebner and Brian Hebner. And working at Impact Wrestling with those guys have taught me a lot about the business and a lot about refereeing. I'm learning from the best, some of the best.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, some people consider Keith Moon the best, and some consider John Bonham of Led Zeppelin the best. There's
a
big debate
too.
out there.
I didn't know his name. I didn't know his name, but he's a good drummer.
Yes. Okay.
So.
All right.
Yep.
Well, Robert, we recently had on a wrestler named Reno Riggins, the wrestler
mm-hmm.
with two dice on his boots. He told Sign Guy and myself that a wrestler with the first and last name beginning with the same letter is easier to remember. For instance, there's wrestlers Lex Luger, there's Bam Bam Bigelow, Bruiser
mm-hmm.
Brody, and Gino Garibaldi. And even celebrities might be easier to remember if they have the first and last name beginning with the same letter, like Betty Boop, Cab Calloway, Marilyn Manson, and Eddie the Eagle. My question is, do you know who Eddie the Eagle is?
No.
Okay. Well, Eddie the Eagle was an Englishman who started his career in downhill skiing, but he wasn't so good, so his friends suggested that he try ski jumping. Well, he was the only ski jumper representing England in the 1988 Winter Olympics, and he got last in both the 70-meter and 90-meter events. And he was nearsighted, so he wore thick glasses under his goggles. And sometimes when he would take off, you could see the wobble in his body and his skis. And they nicknamed him Eddie the Eagle. And because he got last place, but he still jumped quite a long ways, but he finished way behind Finnish champion Manny Nikkanen, he was a celebrity. And he even got to perform on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He got an appearance there, and he had an appearance all over the world. It seems his last place at the 1988 Winter Olympics enshrined him in stardom. But what I'm getting at is he had the first and last letters in his name.
Yeah, I don't.
Yes.
Nobody knows who that is.
Oh, okay.
Or at least
well,
I don't.
I'm going to give you the homework assignment to look up Eddie the Eagle, and there's YouTube videos of him jumping at the 1988 Winter Olympics. You'll be amazed.
I'll check it out.
Eddie the Eagle.
See what I think here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also, and that kind of led into this question, do you have any wrestlers at Resistance Pro with the first and last names beginning with the same letter?
See, again, that Resistance Pro was so long ago that I just don't remember much about that company. I'm with the NWA now, and I'm more apt to answer your questions about that than I am Resistance Pro.
Okay.
I can't think of I knew a couple people from Resistance Pro, but I just didn't know, like, I just can't think of any off the top of my head because I haven't been around that company for so long.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Robert, we had on referee Sean O'Brien about a week ago, and he did very well in a game that we play on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. And Sean O'Brien was asked to make a choice between two subject matters, keeping in mind that there are no right or wrong answers. You are given a choice between two subjects. Are you ready? Are you also ready to play the same game that Sean O'Brien played, and we're going to compare answers?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right. First one, Mr. T or Roddy Piper?
Roddy Piper.
Okay. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or Seinfeld?
I would go with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because I'm an Office fan.
Okay. All right. Ric Flair or Bret Hart?
Oh, that's a tough one. Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Pepsi, okay. Randy Savage or Sting?
Oh, I'd say Randy Savage.
All right. Deep fried Twinkie or beef jerky?
Beef jerky.
Okay. Undertaker or Steve Austin?
Oh. Oh, God. That's a tough one. Oh, man. I'm going to say Steve Austin.
Oh, all right. Steve Austin. Okay. Prime rib or bacon cheeseburger?
Bacon cheeseburger.
Okay. Aflac duck or Geico caveman?
Probably the Aflac duck.
Okay. All right. Rick Rude or Randy Orton?
Rick Rude.
Okay. Daffy Duck or the Tasmanian Devil?
Daffy Duck.
Oh, okay. Sean O'Brien picked the Tasmanian Devil.
I like Daffy Duck. He's a little bit more hilarious than Tasmanian Devil.
All right. Okay. Okay. Bass player Bootsy Collins of the Parliament Funkadelic or Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Without a shadow of a doubt, Flea.
Oh, all right. Okay. George the Animal Steel or Barry Windham?
Barry Windham.
Oh, okay. Five Finger Death Punch or Alice in Chains?
Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay. And the last one, Sons of Anarchy or The Weather Channel?
The Weather Channel.
Is this because The Weather Channel has more beautiful women than Sons of Anarchy?
I feel like The Weather Channel is more informative than Sons of Anarchy. Plus, I didn't like the first episode when I watched it, so I'd rather watch the Weather Channel and make sure I know what the weather is when I'm traveling.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you did very well on Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. And I look forward to you getting back to Sign Guy on your homework assignment, Eddie the Eagle, British ski jumper.
I'm going to look it up and see who this guy is. I don't particularly agree that they remember you more by if you got two names that start with the same letter, though. I was a huge, huge Ultimate Warrior fan. Huge.
Oh. Okay.
So when I went to shows, my face was always painted like Ultimate Warrior, even if he was on the card or not. Huge Ultimate Warrior fan.
Well,
I was a huge Owen Hart fan. I was a huge Four Horsemen fan, Ric Flair. Don't get me wrong, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham. I was a huge Four Horsemen fan. I just think it's about your skills. It's not about what name you got.
Were you a huge fan of King Kong Bundy?
He was all right. Back then, I was into the Hulk Hogan era. You know, Okay. I like King Kong Bundy, but I wasn't a villain guy back then. I wasn't for the heels. But now I'm more of a heel fan than I am a face fan. But I wrestled for 6 years, so it taught me the difference between the two.
Wow. All right. You said you started out as a heel fan. That's okay.
I did wrestling and refereeing on the same show for 6 years.
Okay. Now, did you ever see the video King Kong Bundy wrestles Bud Bundy as a bumblebee?
No, I did not see that.
Oh, well, maybe if you decide you don't want to look up this Edward the Eagle, who really looked like an eagle, you might prefer then instead to look up King Kong Bundy wrestles Bud Bundy, maybe.
I will look that up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it was good talking with you, and at this time, I'm going to give it back over to Sign Guy.
All righty. Nice talking to you.
Thank you,
yes.
QT. Well, Robert, you mentioned earlier that Mickey Knuckles is a hard hitter.
Yes.
I was once hit by Mickey Knuckles, and it was in the top three hardest hits I ever took in my life.
I don't doubt
what
it.
What was the hardest you've ever been hit by a wrestler during the course of a match?
It's funny you asked that. There was a time I was in an Impact Wrestling, and when I was in Impact Wrestling, I don't know if I was out of position or if he just was, you know, ran towards me or whatever, but I don't know if you know who Pepper Parks is. He's the Blade in AEW now.
Yeah.
Butcher and the Blade. He's married to Allie. Jesse Parks. He punched me so hard that I literally thought I was going to not get passed out in the ring. On Impact Wrestling, on TV. But
were you able to continue with the match without interruption, or did you actually go down from that?
Nope, absolutely. I sit there in one place, he hit me, and I kept my balance, and I kept going. I think my adrenaline was pumping so hard that I didn't feel it until I got to the back. But I got hit.
That's usually how that works whenever you get hit like that.
Yep. That was a hard hit.
Now, we both know that in wrestling, injuries are always going to be part of the business. It's just the nature of things. I'm sure you've been in there when guys have gotten hurt before. What would you say are some of the more serious injuries that you've had happen during matches you've been involved with?
The first one comes back in 2011, maybe 2010. Anyways, my best friend was wrestling, and he took a Canadian Destroyer, and it broke every vertebrae in his neck. And that was my best friend laying there, and he was partially paralyzed for a while. And that was my first time ever experiencing an injury. And it was absolutely nerve-wracking. And the second one comes from Impact Wrestling. DJ Z did a flip over the top rope and hit his knee on the guardrail. And he wasn't telling me if he was okay or not. And I didn't know if he was okay. He continued the match, but his knee was absolutely shattered. It was messed up. And then the last one that I had, Sam Adonis, I don't know if you know him or not. But Sam Adonis was wrestling at Warrior Wrestling, and he took a chair shot, and it split his eye open. And I stopped the match.
In a lot of states, of course, there is a wrestling commission that dictates rules within the individual state. And that's going to vary from commission to commission on that. A lot of states have guidelines on things like blood and injuries and that type of thing. Do you find yourself running into having to remember the various state athletic commission rules whenever you travel?
I've been absolutely lucky that I haven't had to have a athletic commission in any of the states I've worked in. as well as I've been lucky enough to work in states where I don't have to have a wrestling license. So I've never experienced that before.
You are lucky then, yeah. It can be good and it can be a real challenge to deal with the commissions for sure.
Yeah, I've never had that, so I can't really answer that question, but I think it would be something that would be crazy if I had to do that. Don't get me wrong, I listen to authority, but we got a show to run, and we do shows a certain way, and for people that's not in wrestling and people that's never been a part of the business, they don't understand what we're doing and how we do it.
Absolutely, and I think we just saw an example of that when AEW got a fine from the Maryland State Athletic Commission for having blood involved in a match.
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's not saying that. I mean, it's sports entertainment, right? Accidents happen, and people sometimes bleed. It's a contact sport, so it's going to happen. So if you really think about it, what are you really reprimanding here? You knew that there was a chance that this could happen when you allowed the company to come in and run a show.
Absolutely. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show today, and I want to give you ample time if you would like to say anything to the listeners today, if you want to plug and promote anything at all. The floor is all yours.
I just want to thank you guys for having me on the show. If you haven't yet, you need to tune in. It's 6:05 on Tuesdays to Carneyland, where they're voting a mayor. And then when we come back, I encourage people to get behind NWA Power and check it out. It's a different type of wrestling that you see. And the guys and gals that work with us are very committed to bringing you the best wrestling that we can bring you. And I say that strongly when I mean wrestling. I think we stand alone in that particular line of work there. We wrestle, and I think people can get behind our characters and get behind what we're doing, and I think they'll find a great alternative from what they're seeing on TV right now. So I encourage people to check out the NWA on YouTube, check NWA out on Instagram and Twitter, and also you can check out me at Ref Rob King on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Robert King, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and I want to wish you the best of luck as you continue career, and hopefully we'll be back to somewhat of a normal semblance of things very soon, and best of luck as Carneyland elects a mayor soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. Fans, definitely follow Robert King on the social medias, and you can jump on the YouTube and find him on the NWA Power. Fantastic referee, so support him and the NWA. I think you're going to enjoy his work. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Boogie Woogie Boy Gary Valiant with us, and 1 week from today, we have referee Wayne Silver out of the great state of Indiana. So make plans to be with us, everybody. Continue to be safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.